Blog Talk Radio.
Reggie Johnson.
And we're your hosts this morning. And how are you this morning, Dr. Reggie?
Magical.
I love it.
Magical.
Last week you were enchanted. This week you are magical.
Yes.
It must mean that you are getting ready for mystery school.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Listen, I hope everyone had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I know that we did. We went to two movies this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We went to see, what was the first one?
Superman, Man of Steel.
Superman, Man of Steel. Everybody's saying that is such a great movie. Maybe it's because I've seen so many Superman movies and Superman television shows.
And World War Z.
Now, I enjoy World War Z. How about you went to sleep?
At the end. I know what happened at the end.
Dr. Reggie said, I'm going to have to start taking no-dos when we go to the movie. I know. But you know what's so neat now in the theaters? The seats are really wide, you know, and the theater we went to see World War Z, we had leather seats and
Cup holders.
And
trays for your food.
Trays for your food. And we went to a morning show, so we had breakfast. You could have pancakes and French toast.
And a movie.
And a movie. I mean, it's really something else. It's almost as nice as watching a movie at home,
you know,
in your home theater. Anyway, it's really a wonderful experience. I hope you guys had a great weekend. The weather was amazing, as usual, for the beginning of the summer solstice. Anyway, we are in a powerful lesson. I'm teaching you guys about your personal power. We're discovering our personal power. What it is, how it works, and how we can take ownership of our personal power. This is a great series, so I would encourage you to let your friends know. You know, you can always get a download and copy it and send the link to a friend. If you hear something that you think will uplift them, please share our archives with your friends and your family. So that they, you know, you can help them gain their personal power without them trying to control yours. Anyway, Dr. Reggie, you want to take us into our opening prayer?
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be alive on this planet.
Amen.
We thank you for another glorious morning in which to have unique opportunities to grow and understand who we are. The core being of who we are in you. Shine through us so that we may shine to others and show them who they are, gloriously uniting the energy and cohesion of power of who we are. Let us feel the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit always and be guided by that divine intelligence and divine wisdom that shines through us. Let us not judge or put labels on anything. Let us go with the energy that flows through us in a holy place. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you so much, Dr. Reggie. Ooh, okay. So last week we started this wonderful, wonderful study. Of course, we're taking this lesson from Joshua David Stone's book, soul psychology, and we're dealing with personal power. He's defining for us what that is, because really and truthfully, we started at Christ consciousness, which is like the fifth key in his thesis. But so I thought, well, let me roll back to the beginning. I felt very comfortable starting with the fifth key, with Christ consciousness, because we have covered so much ground in the past year or so, and I felt you were ready to hear that. But I'm going to roll back because he makes reference to personal power a lot, and even though I think we have a sense of it, I really thought it would be worthwhile to really explore personal power in depth. So we left off last week really trying to understand that Dr. Reggie says, Cynthia, we have one mind, but there are three functions. And I agreed with him, but Joshua David Stone says that we have three minds, but it's the same thing, okay? You know, it's like you say tomato and I say tomato. So anyway, so he says that there are three minds, okay? There are three activities of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
One is the superconscious mind or the higher self. That was the Christ consciousness that we dealt with a couple of weeks ago. And the conscious mind or the middle self, that's the one that is actively listening to Circles of Prosperity right now. And then there's the subconscious mind or the lower self, and that's the one that we program. It's our shipmate, if you will. We're the captain. The conscious mind is the captain. But the shipmate, the little worker bee, is the subconscious mind. I want to acknowledge people in our chat room. Good morning, Susie. So anyway, we established that last week, and we established the subconscious mind and the limitations of the subconscious mind, but also the main limitation is that it has no reasoning. This is why Dr. Reggie says your subconscious mind doesn't know if you're joking about something. We say little negative things that we think is a joke, but the subconscious mind receives it as an instruction and will move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be careful about what we think and what we say.
Yes.
Because it doesn't discern, oh, this is good or this is bad. All it knows is this is an instruction. Let me grab it and go. So today we're going to talk about how the conscious mind works and how it works in conjunction with the subconscious mind. So the key function of the conscious mind is to be the programmer and the protector and the master of the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind is meant to be the servant or the servile mechanism of the conscious mind. And most people not understanding how these psychological laws operate, they let their subconscious mind run them. And when this happens, we become victims. So the subconscious mind was never meant to direct our life. It will run us into oblivion if we let it, not because it is bad, but because it has no reasoning. So, for example, your car has a number of computer systems that help manage specific systems such as air fuel mixture, anti-lock brakes, and so on. But just because these computer chips can perform these functions, that does not mean that they can drive your car. So in and of itself, the subconscious mind is divine. However, why would anyone let a non-reasoning mind run his or her life? Strangely enough, this is what most people do. So you might also imagine the conscious mind as an inner gate or an inner bubble that protects us from our own subconscious mind. And when a thought or a feeling or an impulse arises, it is the conscious mind's task to use its power of reasoning and discernment and discrimination to check that the thought to check that thought at the gate. And if the thought or impulse is positive and spiritual, we let it into our mind. But if it is negative, we push it out. So you see how you need to consciously, from moment to moment, pay attention to where your thoughts and your impulses are. Because you're the one that controls the gate. That's what it's basically saying. The conscious mind is you. You're controlling what gets to the subconscious mind. So psychological health is the process of letting the positive, spiritually balanced thoughts into our mind. Psychological health is like physical health. If we want to be physically healthy, what do? We put good, healthy food into our bodies. If we want to be psychologically healthy, we need to put good, healthful thoughts into our mind. It is so simple. It's very, very simple. Paul told everybody, he says, you know, keep your mind on things that are good and loving, those thoughts. Let them be in your mind continuously. So by pushing the negative thoughts out of our minds, we are refusing them energy. So what is the principle? Where attention goes, energy flows. In other words, whatever you're putting attention on, there's energy that flows. You're empowering it with energy. This is much like not watering a plant. The plant will eventually wither and die from lack of water, which is, in this case with thoughts, it's attention and focus. And once we have pushed the negative thought out, the second step is to affirm the opposite, positive thought, or the spiritual thought. And this is called positive thinking through positive affirmation. And believe it or not, it is the basis of what Unity calls affirmative prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The first step is denial, meaning that you don't give it the negative thought any attention. Remember we talked about healing? When we're praying for someone's healing, the first thing is that we don't acknowledge that they are sick. I deny that you are sick. There's a denial. You're not putting energy into that person's illness.
Mm-hmm.
They got enough of that going on for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They taught us at Unity in Kansas City. Someone can say, oh, my God, I'm so sick. I'm dying. And the guy, Paul Hasselbeck, who's our instructor, said, tell them, no, I don't believe that about you.
Mm-hmm.
And then replace it with something powerful. You're very powerful. You're healing.
Mm-hmm. Same principle.
Mm-hmm, the same principle. That's just an aspect of your healing.
Yes. Same principle. I just love it. I love when I can connect the dots like this throughout our teaching. You know, it comes back. You're hearing it, and you're hearing it a little differently, but it's the same principle. So by continually disregarding the negative thought and affirming the positive thought, we can form a new habit in the subconscious mind within 21 days. And the old habit dies because we are not giving it energy.
That's right.
And the new habit takes its place because we are continually affirming and thinking positively. So, okay, this morning I did a little exercise. I was doing a meditation with Deepak Chopra, and he was defining the law of attraction and talking about abundance and the law of intention. And he took us through a guided meditation, and I'll send it to you guys because it was really pretty cool. But anyway, I was thinking my intention is to lose some weight. And so now that's all I'm going to focus on is losing weight. I'm not going to focus on the fact that I'm fat. I'm focusing on losing weight. I don't know how many of you want to join me in this test, but I'm testing the principles now and to see how it will shift. I've got 21 days to shift in a consciousness of continuously losing weight. Okay, so remember that the subconscious is filled with all sorts of old hates, that our parents and other people programmed into us when we were young. So if the conscious mind isn't making choices, then all of this old programming from early childhood is controlling our present life. And, you know, we really know that we've been programmed and that it is working against us, because otherwise, how many of us think about our childhood and, you know, just really carry the hurt from our childhood? I know I do. I mean, I'm releasing them now because they don't serve me. But part of your spiritual path is looking back at the child in you, the times that you were hurt and discouraged, and releasing it and letting it go lovingly. We're going to talk about that later on as well. So here's what Joshua says. He says you need to develop an outer bubble or a shield of protection. It is essential to develop an inner bubble to protect us from our own subconscious mind, but it is also essential to develop an outer bubble or a shield to protect ourselves from other people's negative energy. Woo! And that is so true. How many of you have noticed, I love asking you guys questions that you don't answer, but how many of you have noticed since you've been with Circles of Prosperity that you will hear people say something in a conversation? It could be friends, family members, co-workers, and they will say something, and it will just make your hair stand on, make your hair stand up. Because it is so opposite from the way you have been working and thinking, changing your thinking. Oh, I know. When I hear it, I just cringe. I don't know. Anyway, if you guys want to share something with me this morning, the number is 914-338-0590. I'd love to hear from you. So he's saying we need to protect ourselves not only from our own thoughts, but from the thoughts of others. So we need to create an outside bubble. It is ideal for us to be the programmer of the subconscious mind. In a sense, the outer bubble acts like a virus protection software. I love that analogy. It screens out any potentially dangerous outside code so that you can't get a virus. Always remember that if we don't take responsibility for our own programming and protection, then the subconscious mind or other people will run our lives. And the ideal is to be the cause. You want to be the creator and the master of your life. If these psychological laws aren't clearly understood, then other people will be your programmer. So let's take the example of someone who's criticizing or judging you. The ideal is to have an imaginary bubble or shield around you so that when criticism comes towards you, it hits the bubble or shield and bounces or slides off like the water off of a duck's back. It must be understood that this bubble is semi-permeable. In other words, it allows a positive energy to come in, but it keeps out the negative energy. And you make a conscious choice or a discrimination as to whether to let others' energy into your subconscious mind or not. If you don't have this bubble of protection available to you at all times, then you can be victimized by another person's comments and their statements or their energy. There is a time to be open and a time to be closed. It is necessary to close down and to protect yourself if other people are being negative. If someone threw a real spear at you, I'm sure you would physically try to get out of the way, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing is true with other people who are directing negative energy toward you like a psychological spear. You will be wounded if you let it in. And you wouldn't let a person shove physical poison down your physical mouth, Don't let people shove mental poison into your mind. You don't want the subconscious mind to run your life, and you don't want other people to run your life either. So another way of saying this is that you want to respond instead of react.
Mm-hmm.
You want to respond instead of react. And a response is a product of the conscious mind. When you choose how to deal with the incoming energy, a reaction is a product of the subconscious mind. If someone judges or attacks you and you let that incoming energy go right into your subconscious mind and then the solar plexus and then maybe the emotional body, you will either be hurt, withdraw, cry, or lash back. You are letting another person be the cause of your emotion. So, here's another way to think about this. If your inner and outer bubble are not functioning properly, you are letting yourself be hypnotized. You're letting yourself be hypnotized. He says that he says Joshua Stone says that he was in his lifetime a licensed hypnotist, and that his work was really not about hypnotizing people, but about dehypnotizing them. He said victims are in a sort of hypnotic state, letting another person program their emotions in a waking state. And many people live their lives this way, and I'm trying to get them out of it. We are hyper-suggestible when we don't make a choice about how to respond. In reality, we all are invulnerable psychologically, and this is a profound statement, because to be invulnerable means that we can't get emotionally hurt unless we choose to be. So we saw the Superman movie, and, you know, as strong and as powerful as Superman is in the movie, he is weakened by kryptonite. He is weakened also by gravity. In this particular movie, they were changing the gravity levels here, and he had become adapted to the gravity levels on planet Earth, and as they were shifting it, it weakened him. But you all know the story about kryptonite. If he's around this green stuff, this crystal kryptonite, it weakens him. That's how it is with your subconscious mind. If you let other people come in, they are the kryptonite, and it weakens you. Of course, we are talking about power, right, and our personal power. We're giving them our power. They're like sucking it out of us, actually. So he talked about his favorite metaphor because he really wants us to understand the dynamic of the conscious and the subconscious mind. He said, my favorite image likens psychological health with physical health. He says, if a person we know catches a cold or the flu, we certainly don't want to get it, and we do everything in our power not to get it. We stay away from the person. We take extra vitamin C. We tell ourselves we are not going to get sick. We eat well and try to get enough sleep. In other words, we build up our resistance. If we keep our resistance up, we don't get sick. Doctors and nurses don't get all their patients' sicknesses. And why is that? The reason is that there is no such thing as a contagious disease. There are only people with low resistance. So this analogy is exactly the same as the psychological level. There is no such thing as a contagious psychological disease. There are only people with low resistance. So how do we keep up our psychological resistance so that we don't catch the infectious diseases of anger and depression and jealousy and hatred and so on? We keep our psychological resistance up by maintaining a positive mental attitude and developing and maintaining that protective bubble is one basic way to foster a positive attitude. The other key technique is in maintaining our personal power, unconditional love, and self-worth, and faith, and trust in God. These are a few of the main techniques, but as we continue our study, we're going to explore some others. But the main point is that we are here in this world to set a better example. We are here to bring other people up, not to let ourselves be sucked down. So in essence, the earth is like a hospital that is run by the patients. There are very few healers or doctors. Our life purpose is to be a healer or a doctor. And we see such a resurgence of people desiring to be Reiki healers. I've mentioned this to you before. Because we're beyond physical illness now. Reiki healers are about spiritual healing, healing the soul. They work with the energy. It's healing the soul is perfect, but we've got a lot of garbage that doesn't allow that perfection through. And that's what they're healing. They're healing the emotional self, all of the negative energy around us. It's amazing. When we allow other people to victimize us, we have become patients again. And now we need healing. And this is okay if it happens. The lesson is to get back to our centered selves and be the doctors and heal us again as soon as we can. Powerful, powerful lesson for you guys today. You know, I think I've shared this story with you guys because through my life, I think I've had, you know, many profound moments that pretty much all of them I've shared with you guys on Circles of Prosperity. But Dr. Reggie and I cared for my father for 3 years. And at one point, he went into a coma. And I know I've shared this part with you. And as I was reading this about with Dr. Stone and the bubble, I specifically remembered when my father was in a coma that it took me 3 days before I moved. Shifted my energy into faith. The first 3 days, I was fearful of losing my father. But I was trying to cover that fear up with being strong and trying to be logical and trying to handle everything in case he transitioned. Now, where was the error there? I was planning for his transition. I was putting my energy, my thought energy, into my father's transition. And something woke me up on that third day, and I literally just sat up in the bed and fell to my knees and asked God for forgiveness. And I asked myself, Cynthia, where is your faith? Because that's what was rolling in my spirit. It was just push me. And from that moment on, I was in that bubble. And the experience of being in that bubble was so profound. I was standing in the room with my father next to the bed, and his neurologist came in. And he tried, I don't know how many ways, to tell me that, you know, this was not good. The state that my father was in was not good. And so he said he doesn't know where he is. And I remember it was like those words, I heard them, but they just slid off. I was in a bubble. Not only was I in the bubble, my father was in the bubble. I could see the bubble. It was that real for me that I could see me standing in it. This doctor's words could not permeate that bubble. So I know what Joshua Stone is saying here is real and it works. I did not allow those words to become part of my subconscious mind. And I remember how he took, you know, they have a little tool and they rub it on their feet. They roll it up and down their feet. He was so frustrated that I wasn't moving with him and in agreement with him that this was devastating condition that my father was in. He took that tool and he ran it up the tool up against my father's foot with anger. Because there was no response from my father, and that's when he said, he doesn't even know where he is. He's not here. And then he says, do you understand anything that I'm saying to you? Because he recognized that energy he was pushing towards me was not permeating into me. Because I just stood there with a stupid grin on my face. I was in my own la-la land. And that, as I'm repeating it and have a deeper understanding of energy and how it works, I even feel the impact of his anger and frustration because he was the doctor and he was telling me a reality and I should accept it. I do. I knew that my father would be fine. Dr. Reggie told me, Cynthia, don't worry about your dad. He'll be out of this in 7 days. And on the 7th day, my father did come out of that coma, laughing and talking. His doctor, extremely conservative doctor, was running up and down the hall saying it was a miracle. The nurses had never seen him act like that. Wonderful, wonderful lesson for me, life lesson for me. And I'm sharing it with you. So at one point, Joshua Stone tells us, and we'll get to this later in the book, but he says, never give up your power. Never give up your power. It is divine. Wow. You remember those days.
Mm-hmm, I do. Very much. And we're back to active memory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really was something else for us. It really was. And I definitely know my faith grew. My relationship with God grew through that experience.
And your dad.
And my father. And here's the thing, in my spirit, I heard, I will heal your father, and it will be more than a physical healing, but a healing in relationships. And at that time, I really thought I was talking about physical relationships, but as the years have passed, I recognized that it was the ultimate relationship that was being healed, and that's our relationship with God. So every experience in your life is there for you to grow. Every experience.
And very divine.
Yes. So, listen, we have a few minutes to go. If you'd like to talk this morning or share something with us that will uplift us, I definitely want to hear from you, 914-338-0590. You can press 1 on your telephone keypad. Otherwise, I guess I'll have Dr. Reggie take us into our closing prayer.
Okay. No takers.
I don't think we're going to have any takers this morning.
Okay. Bless their heart. They're listening.
They are listening or asleep once.
Right.
And in which case, their subconscious mind
is picking it up.
Okay. But listen, these are positive things going into your subconscious mind. I hope that you accept them and move forward with this lesson today. Keep yourself in a bubble. Test it. See how it works. Pay attention to what people are saying to you. Don't let them pull you down today. I know it's Monday, you know, and people are dreading going to work or whatever. But don't let people pull you down. You have all the power. God is giving you all the power. Take hold of it. Go ahead, Dr. Reggie.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. It's a very dynamic lesson to learn. I thank you because it imparts a new wisdom and understanding for everyone. What we say and think and feel is extremely important living in these bodies on this planet and affecting others as we interact with them. Let's use the power of our mind for everything uplifting and positive and Godward. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Okay, you guys have a blessed and powerful, powerful day. Mm-hmm.